Hey, this is part two of the Chewing Gum Recap. Thank you guys so much for joining us again. I really hope that you enjoyed part one. Listen up as Shannon and I get into the last few episodes of Chewing Gum. Man, I really wish these seasons were longer, but then again, it seems like they're almost kind of perfect that it's only six episodes a show, or a season, I should say, but let me stop rambling. You guys go ahead and enjoy part two of the Chewing Gum Recap. So the next episode is actually just as equally gross, if not grosser. Mm-hmm. So the next episode is Orlando. And basically in this episode, Tracy actually tries to spend time with Connor and his girlfriend. I don't know why.
Why?
Cynthia demands an apology from Ronald. Oh, wow. I forgot that this was that episode. This episode was lit. And Esther gets mistaken for Candace when she goes on a date. Okay, I think Orlando, because I just remembered, this and also the third episode are probably my favorite too.
Okay, here's where you will have to sell me on Orlando. Okay. I had to kind of sell you on replacements. Because Orlando wasn't like bad. Actually, I do love the episode, but it was like one of the episodes where it's like when I saw it once, I was like, I think I'm done here.
So the reason why I think this is up there, because you get some of everyone in this, and you definitely get a lot more Cynthia, and then Ronald is back in the fold. So that's I'm just gonna jump all over the place. So I think it opens with Tracy at dinner with Emma and Connor, and I just like, ooh, girl, I don't know why you here, but all right. So that kind of happens, and I don't really remember. Like, yeah, they're just kind of having awkward small talk. Somebody says something. Because Emma is like very, because at least I think Connor, to a degree, is aware that he's a white guy and there's like differences between him and Tracy. Because I think in episode six, Emma actually tries to touch Tracy's hair and he's like, oh, don't do that.
Listen. So, yeah, when we get to episode six.
So yes. I felt like she made some type of comment at the dinner table that was along those same lines, and then I think Connor kind of checked her, so I don't really remember what it was, but I was just like, yeah, Tracy, you should never came to dinner.
Right, and I do like that, like, Connor obviously learned a lot within his short relationship.
No, like, Tracy. he really did, so I was just like, you know what? Hats off to you. So I want to talk about Cynthia and Ronald. So Cynthia's been watching these videos of some online, I guess not even like an online church, but some youth group that's streaming their services. Mm-hmm. And she goes and she's still battling with her sexuality in terms of whether or not she wants to lose her virginity or what it is that she wants to do. Mm-hmm. So she realized, that's why I was confused. I didn't know she already knew Ronald was, I feel like she knew Ronald was there because that's why she ended up going to confront him because, you know, they didn't get married, right?
I believe so. Yeah, okay. This one was kind of hazy for me because this is like one of the few episodes I only watched once. But I know, I can't remember if she went there because she saw Ronald in like the footage or if she went there because her mom's church had lost its church status. And I think she was just trying to find other outlets for spirituality and found this very modern, up-and-coming church where they cuss, apparently.
And then the pastor or whoever it is up on the stage sitting down talking has a girlfriend who's pregnant, and Tracy actually goes off on them. So she goes off on them, and then I think Ronald stands up and says something, so then she realizes he's there. So I think you might be right. Maybe he just so happened to be there.
Yeah, I think so. But that reunion was something.
So they're in the back and they're talking, and of course Ronald is still being a jackass. Mm-hmm. And he's I guess she originally thought that he apologized after her little rant, but no, he just apologized for knocking down everything, having his little tantrum.
Such a dick. Such a dick.
And then Ronald.
I'm not apologizing for that. I knocked down the awning or something like that. It's like, you are a piece of work.
A horrible person. And then his boyfriend comes in, and he like tongues him down in front of her, and she's just like, okay. And so that happens, and he still hasn't apologized, and he's just pretty much like, you know, just leave me be. And then she finds out that he not only just has the one boyfriend, but like he's been getting down with everyone. Yes. And she takes it upon herself, and she's like, well, this guy doesn't deserve this. So she pulls him aside, and I guess she ends up not telling him what Ronald is actually doing. I think she has a change of heart, because he's like, this is the only guy who I've known since I've moved here who's been nice to me, and so on and so forth. So she doesn't. But he decides that he wants to go to the bathroom. And guess who's in the bathroom? Ronald. Doing what looks
church
like...
church leader.
With the church leader. And then he's just like, well, can you close the door so I can finish up? And I'm just like, wow, what a jackass.
Honestly, I'm so conflicted with Ronald, because there's obviously like abusive tactics.
Yes.
Like not in a very overt sense, but like Tracy said, in season one, she's like, you abuse me, not in like an overt way, but in a way that was noticeable. But he's also like one of the most well done villains, because he is so relentlessly like, not remorseful about anything.
And, I totally agree.
Yeah, and he's a ridiculous character. He's such a inside and out, from head to toe, one of the most ridiculous characters I've ever seen. And for him to get caught getting a blowjob get caught by his boyfriend, and for him to have the nerve to be like, you know, can you close the door? Ronald. That is absolutely Ronald.
Yes, like, to a T.
To a T. Down to a T. So, yeah, that was a very fun reunion.
So that happened. And then, so I guess you would consider that, I guess, the B storyline, because the A storyline is, of course, Tracy. And she is... she ends up getting a job walking a dog.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be way more than that.
Which, again, whose mind comes up with this? So... it's so strange. It's so strange. So this job walking, or this dog walking job that she gets with this adorable puppy named Orlando... is apparently has a starring role in a very terrible niche fetish. Like, again, after seeing this, I was like, okay.
And then, like, you know, like, this exists on the internet. And once again, like, I had to stop myself from Googling and going on a very weird rabbit hole that I was going to... was gonna regret, because basically, guys, this dog has been trained to lick, and lick a very private part of a woman, and the guy films it. And of course Nan knows all about it, because she ends up showing Candace and Aaron like what it was, and they're like, oh, nope, cut it off. And she's like, what? This isn't even the worst of it. And I'm just like, wow, you've really been around the block several times. Oh my God. So I was uncomfortable, but at the same time, I was just like, but this show, taking it where we have not seen, you know, from Black women creators, take it before. Like, this is so very American Pie-ish and... Yeah. Van Wilder again, and just, you know, absolutely, those kinds of shows, I mean movies. So for that, I was just like, you know what, as much as I am grossed out and I'm queasy right now, you know, hey, I'm gonna let y'all cook.
Yeah. So and at least they had the decency to take the dog. At least she was like, yes, I'm gonna take the dog out of this situation.
Like, and she ends up giving it to Emma and Connor, and I was just like, no, she ends up giving it to, whoa, okay, so she ends, because Emma says that her grandmother can take the dog, and then Tracy says, well, obviously she is good with raising dogs, because Emma says that she raised me, and I fell out, because Tracy is quick, and she's so quick.
She's absolutely... has a very sharp tongue and is not afraid to use it. Tracy's a real one. Like, she's not fake. Like, she is not trying to pretend to be Emma's friend. As a matter of fact, she's very clear on the idea that she's not comfortable with her.
And it took me out.
It's because all Emma wants to do is be her friend. Like, all she wants to do is build this bridge between them. So yeah, that was really funny to me.
And then also in this episode, another thing that kind of took me, I don't know, maybe this episode was just really goofy, and also Cynthia and Ronald, I feel like their chemistry is really, like, they have excellent comedic timing with one another. So I think that's another reason. But Esther, who is Nan's friend, gets mistaken for Candace. So she gives her a Rachel Dolezal tan, and also, I guess, gives her hair similar to Candace. And she goes on this date with this guy, and the whole time I'm just like, how does he not know that ain't her? So we kind of find out the guy's actually blind. And then what just really took me out is that they really did show them having sex. And I was just like, you know what? Chewing gum.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, Esther is Nan.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Right. You're right. Duh. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Nan. Yeah, I don't know why they
I don't know why I was thinking. Yeah, okay, my bad. So, yeah. So Nan ends up getting her some.
Which kills me, because I'm like, she technically showed up to this dinner in blackface.
She like, definitely did. And that's the thing. I'm like, at first, it didn't dawn on me until after. And I'm just like, but wait, what?
Like... She was definitely browned her up. They browned, like, they, it was more than just like bronzer on the cheeks.
It was a Rachel Dolezal tan.
They Dolezal'd the hell out of that woman.
Am I horrible? Am I trash for that? I don't know. I just, it was funny to me.
The show does a really excellent job of making you feel comfortable enough in super uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
And I think has everything to do with it being created by a Black woman, that she's given you enough reason to trust her at this point. Like, she's not going to take it to a point where, like, you lose it completely, because it's like Nan showing up in that dark makeup. Any other show would have pissed me off, but it's not like she tried to, like, make herself sound, you know, whatever her version of Black was. Like, she wasn't like a caricature. She was still very much Nan. She was just in a ridiculous struggle wig and too dark makeup. And that was pretty much
hold
it.
On, and Candace, and one of Candace's premium jackets too, so.
In a Candace fashions.
Yeah. But it made sense though. But I think, so maybe the gag was the fact that the guy was actually blind. So that's why it wouldn't have worked anyway. And that's the only way that blackface could work, is if somebody is blind and they don't get to see you making a complete freaking fool of yourself.
because I was like, there's no way this can move. There's no right. way that this is going to work. And I was like, there's something amiss here. Because, like, it'd be like, oh, you're more beautiful in person. And it was like, wait, what?
Right, because when I heard that, I was like, well, wait, what? How? What is going on?
That killed me. But I was
hold on, like, and then, like, Nan knew that she was messed. She was walking out the house looking crazy, too.
She knew to cover that face with that menu, not to part with that menu when that waiter tried to take it from her. She knew what she looked like. But I also loved this because up until now, Nan has been like this pretty like confident sexual woman. And it's been great because how often do we get to see older women be, you know, openly sexual? And exactly. not be mocked for it. So it's not like she was ever made, it was ever made to be a joke like, oh, look at this woman who's obviously not supposed to be sexual. No, Nan's just a very sexual, sexually expressive woman. And it's totally cool that she is. But in this moment, she was like kind of vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like she was worried that she couldn't, you know, get this guy as herself. Because it would have taken an email to be like, oh, by the way, like, that was accidentally like my granddaughter's picture, so like ignore that. But like kind of to have that vulnerable moment was nice to see in her. I mean, and she bounced right back to being like her old powerhouse self. But it was just it was a cool moment. It was definitely a very cool moment. I will watch that episode again.
See? I told you, like, it's just it's the Ronald and the Cynthia.
It's the Ronald and Cynthia of it all, because Ronald is such a god, like
he's terrible.
Because, like, there's no way you are an actual human being that walks this earth. You are too much of a cartoon. But I want to punch you in the face.
Right. He's a horrible person. So episode 5 is called Road Trip, and we get some more Ola, and I was very happy for that because yep. So basically in this episode Candace and Aaron are going to meet his parents, or his father I should say, and Tracy and somehow Ola end up getting, or they crash the meet the parents ordeal or whatever.
They just like crash their and show up to the train station like, oh yeah, we're coming.
And then like dancing on the train, and I'm just like, I'm like, y'all should have stayed home. So that happens, and then also Candace continues to be a horrible person because mm-hmm. okay, we'll get into it. So Ola meets two guys, and he's like, well, I'm about to go roll with them, and I'll catch y'all later. Mm-hmm. So Tracy, Candace, and Aaron actually go to his father's house, and his dad is, like, emotionally abusing to Aaron, and mm-hmm. for whatever reason, this is turning both Tracy and Candace on. And I was like, y'all are terrible.
And I love Tracy being under like this delusion of like, I think we're making a connection here.
Yes.
Obviously uninterested older man, but yeah, this was interesting because you know that like Candace has always mm-hmm. kind of had those tendencies, but it's also yeah. we've kind of, I guess, as an audience kind of shrugged it off as her kind of like giving him tough love and trying to make him tougher, and then it somehow worked. But like her having this connection with his father, you're like, oh no, both of y'all kind of ain't shit to Aaron, like at all. Like, yeah, they have this understanding of like, oh, beat the sensitive out of him. There's nothing wrong with him.
No, there is nothing wrong with him. And then shout out to Michaela for even having this type of, you know, having a character like Aaron on there.
Yeah, like emotionally available. Like, yeah. Yes. Not afraid, like, because we're not, so what is he supposed to be, like this like ain't shit guy like we're used to seeing?
Just for and the sake how of, Candace like, wants him to be,
and how Candace for some reason wants him to be, like she wants that kind of like emotionally void man to like, I guess, kind of take on that toxic masculinity that we've all been so convinced is somehow sexy, like, or at least what society tries to convince us is like the epitome of what manliness is. It's just being emotionally unavailable and being unnecessarily rough. And Aaron's just not about that. But then you see why, because he has this asshole dad that he's trying desperately not to be like. And yeah, and then so we see how that actually works on Candace, which was really disappointing.
It was, but the funny thing is, I'm like, she's gonna sleep with him. And I like called it before it happened, because when he was just kind of going in on her to Aaron, like, really just calling her out, like, I bet she isn't this, she isn't that, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, oh no. But at the same time, I was like, you're probably gonna sleep with him. And she does. Mm-hmm. And Tracy catches them, and Tracy is actually more hurt because she thought she would be the one to get the draws from Aaron's dad. It was not the case.
Oh my god. I love Michaela Cole's ability to kind of step aside and not be the center.
Yeah.
Of an episode, but still find ways to inject her Tracy all over this. Like, of course Tracy would be like, oh, how could you do this to me? To the person you've got a relationship
with. At some point, does Ola show up with the guy? Because I guess he didn't know that the couple he went home with, like, they were into this whole thing of, like, bringing home strangers and then acting as though the other one didn't know that they were going to sleep with the other one.
Yeah, it was like this role play situation that they didn't warn him about, which was unfair.
No, so it wasn't right. Thing,
this poor thing is like, finds that he's like having this connection with this guy, and he's like, oh my god, but what about your boyfriend? And then, of course, they proceed to make out, but like in a fit of panic, he had like a fight or flee moment and was like, I need to flee, and I'm taking you with me. Because this guy's like in a wheelchair, so all of a sudden you see him rolling this man down the road, and the guy can't say anything because I think he had like a ball gag.
Yeah.
I love that this show just goes from like 0 to 60 in like
just like seconds. That. Right. So I thought that was pretty funny. And so Tracy's pretty much the Candace, like, are you going to tell him? And she's like, no, of course not. So the dad actually ends up snitching when they're, I guess, eating lunch the very next day. And Aaron is, of course, hurt. So he leaves. But the episode pretty much ends with them all waiting to go back home. And, you know, Candace has got her head on Aaron's shoulder. And Tracy is just kind of sitting there. And is Ola back? Did he ever make his way back?
I can't remember. I feel like he did.
Okay. I hope he did.
Truly, he did.
I think he was in the last episode, so I think he did. And then real quick, because how could we forget this? Cynthia actually loses her virginity in this episode.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And in like the most like clinical way possible.
Oh my God. It was hilarious.
I love that, like, she lost her virginity, but it wasn't like this moment of like, oh, a part of me is missing. It was like, I just really want to get this out of the way. I want to explore this. And so she just picks up a stranger in this gorgeous purple dress. And it's like, okay. And she gets him home. She's like, I would like you to have sex with me. I would like to put your penis in me. And yes, we are going to do this. And
he fakes it, which I was like, wait, what?
That kills me. And like, after it's done, there's like no fanfare. It was like, okay, well, that was a thing. Well, I'm going to go into the next room and I'm going to, you know, pay some bills, take care of some things, and you just see yourself out. Because I really don't have any interest in seeing you again. I was like, I love that. Cynthia immediately was just
she's like, I'm good. Right. I'm really good. I loved it too.
I love that.
And also, she's course- wrong for having sex in her sister's room, because she's like, yeah, I heard the sex leaves a smell, and I don't want to get the blame for this just in case my mom smells it, so you just stay in here.
That killed me. We're essentially framing Tracy.
How terrible.
That would kill me. But in the end, she does... it doesn't turn out well, because she... enters the living room to find that the apartment has been burglarized. That Ryan, the stranger that she meets and has sex with, has in turn stolen all of their things. I was like, damn it.
Oh, poor Cynthia.
All she wanted to do was just get this out the way. That's right. All she wanted.
Hey, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Liz.
We want to tell you about our podcast, Let Go, Let Flow, which is a girlfriend's appreciation podcast. You remember that show on UPN? It had Tracee Ellis Ross, Jo Marie Jones,
Odin Brooks, Persia White, also known as Tony, Maya, Lynn, and Joan,
and Darnell's trifling ass. So join us as we revisit this iconic show.
Yeah, and like, rate, and subscribe to us on iTunes. You can follow us on Google Play as well, and follow us on SoundCloud.
Yeah, so please do all that. We appreciate it, and we'll see you at Joan's house.
The door is unlocked.
Yes, the door is unlocked. So let's talk about episode 6, which is the final episode for season 2 of this amazing show. And it's Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. And basically in this one, now more desperate than ever to lose her virginity because, you know, her sister has. Tracy joins a book club in hopes that she'll meet a man different from the type she usually goes for. All right, Tracy. And yet, as usual, not all goes as planned. Carly's due in labor anytime now, and the estate pulls together to find out who the father is. So there was like, I don't know how they put so much in this last episode, given that they're only 24 minutes, but she pulled it off.
She really had like an A storyline, B storyline, C storyline, all the way up to like an F storyline. So much happened here. And this was... up until I saw this episode for a second time, I thought that Replacements was my favorite episode. It comes a close second, but I think Age Ain't Nothing But a Number is my favorite episode because it was so funny and so heartfelt and like so much happened. It's like from the very beginning, like 2 minutes in, my gut was just in knots. I was laughing so hard when Tracy and Cynthia are talking about Tracy losing her virginity, and Tracy is so worried, or rather Cynthia is so worried that Tracy's going to be upset that she lost it before her big sister. Tracy's like, oh no, I'm not upset, you know, I'm not even surprised. And then it cuts to her talking to that. I was like, shocking, how did this utter fool lose it? I was done.
And then like, why is she playing Ludo afterwards?
I loved Tracy bringing that up, like that being the strangest of all of it, because it truly is. But Tracy's like, so after you lost your virginity, you decided to play Ludo on the laptop. And I'm like, I love whenever Tracy's like the one that's like, okay, for once I'm not the strangest one in this exchange.
And then I also love in the background, we finally meet their father, because we didn't even know he existed until now. And their mom is talking to him and she's like, I need to get my furniture back. He's like, well, what do you want me to do? I don't have the money. So he ends up leaving, and then it's just pretty much, okay, well, see you next Christmas. And then she just cuts, the camera cuts to her, and just like, she hunches her shoulders and she's just like, yeah, no story there. Great guy. That's it. And I really appreciated that because, you know, usually and sometimes, and it does get very tropey where, you know, the father is not there. And especially in a Black father, it usually is some type of trauma. Mm-hmm. And then this is just, you know, no, he's great. It was, you know, they're just not together and he's a dad.
And it's fine. And it's really fine. Okay. Opening credits now. We're moving on. That was so well done. Because, yeah, it could have been an opportunity to paint him, like, as an ain't shit person. And maybe he still is.
Right.
But it's not, like, something that has, like, deeply, it's obviously not deeply affected Tracy. Which is like, all right, bye. See you next Christmas. I was like, oh, I love all that. Right. Oh, yeah, that's my dad. You know, nice guy. No story here. I was like, that's great. Not because there wasn't a time that I feel like we were ever worried about it.
Right.
I think that was probably more for the benefit of the non-Black folk.
It's so funny you say that because I am picturing somebody non-Black watching this and just like, but wait, is her dad not being in her life the reason why she's like this? It's just like,
right.
No.
Right. Because, I mean, everything aside, Tracy is actually fairly well adjusted.
Like, no, agreed.
she makes dumb mistakes, but it's not like her life's ever threatened. Like, and she always, I think Tracy always has like a line. Like, she makes dumb mistakes, but she's not stupid.
No, I totally agree. And she like has, and throughout this entire season, like she's shown bouts of lucidness where it's just like, ooh, no. Ooh, baby, what is you doing?
Right. You forget that Tracy's a grown-ass woman sometimes.
Yes.
And, like, I always go back to like when we first meet boy Tracy and the like the big moment where you turn and he's naked suddenly and the way she's sitting on the bed looking at him, like, not freaked out, not, well, I mean, she's freaked out obviously, but like, you, I just encourage everyone to go back to that episode and look at her stance, because that alone, Michaela Cole's physical comedy is so good that she could be sitting still and it'll be the funniest thing you will ever see. But it was just so adult. It was like you said, that baby, what is you doing? Like, what is happening here? And she, when she looks at the camera, she's like, oh, I am still here.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
I'm just trying to figure it out with everybody else. Like, those lucid moments are so funny.
They're right. They're almost like the funniest part.
They are.
To be honest. Yeah.
They are. Because it's like a totally different side of the coin with her. Like, one moment you're like, man, Tracy, is she all the way here? And then next moment you're like, yes, she is. She's fine.
She's definitely present. So after the opening, do we go to, I can't remember for the life of me, but is this when we're all sitting around in, I think Candace, you know, part of flat with her mom and everybody's trying to figure out who
Carly's baby is, or Carly's baby father is. Shout out to, and I didn't know her name, but apparently her name is Big Leash.
Oh.
Shout out to her, because she's hilarious. If I hope that next season does to Big Leash what this season did to Ola, and kind of brings her in the forefront more, because she, baby girl, had me dying. Like,
I would love that, actually.
Because we saw her a little bit in season one when she gave Tracy that like ridiculous, like, whatever ritual to like basically self-abort
the that child. Had me forget about that. No, you're right. I totally forget about that. You know, season three, because we definitely need that. So yes. Please let that happen. No, we definitely. We need that Ola treatment for her.
Yeah, because she was, when she had those like pictures and she was there like CSI. Like, okay, here he is, baby daddy number one, 300 followers on Instagram. I was like, what is going on? Why are you hilarious? That whole scene was so good, because even Carly, like, this show does such a good job of bringing in really interesting, colorful little characters that don't fade into the background.
And
there's so many people there, it could be really easy to, but like, you could see Carly's frustrated. You could see she's about to give birth any moment, and her friend, it's like, you know, why don't you go with the guy that, you know, loves you and wants to be present? And Carly said something to the effect of, you know, I could have this baby right now just so I could jump up and smack you. Like, so like that whole scene. And meanwhile, like, what would Tracy say? Tracy's trying to read a book out loud, and when everyone's like telling her to shut up, she's like, I can't read a book in my head, I'll fall asleep.
Look, that is all too real for certain books. Like, some books I'm just like, no, I either gotta get this on audiobook or it's just not gonna happen, because
right,
she was right about that. No judgment at all, because I've been there.
it just killed me. That reasoning was so funny with everything going on.
And then the fact that she joined a book club,
which does come out of nowhere, but I love like these little moments where she like tries to self-improve. So yeah, we find out that she joined a book club, and you know, but amongst that, they're still trying to figure out this baby daddy situation. And that's when Aaron pipes up and is like, don't worry, you know, everything that's done in the dark always comes to light. And him and Candace seem to be okay. Supposedly. They seem to be all right, considering everything that happened. And yeah, I can't remember what happened. I guess after that is when we see the book club.
Yeah, I think that's when we go, like, yeah, we go directly to the book club. And of course, Tracy has not read this book. So there's a girl next to her who is like, whatever this book is about, I felt like it was about furniture. That's what I glean from it. And like, they're just getting really deep about it. And Tracy's just sitting there like, and she's like taking everything this girl is saying and is like, I guess, putting her own twist on it to act as though she's actually read it. And she's really doing a pretty all right job of doing it.
She is. Like that repackaging. Like, well, you know, I just think that this is such a great insight on the authors. And Tracy's like, yeah, just an amazing insight, right? Right? And that goes on. And it's one of those things that's like, the longer it goes on, the harder I laugh. Because it's so... Because Tracy's committed. Tracy's not going to let you know that she did not read this book.
And it's just like the deeper that hole gets dug too, because eventually, so some guy next to her pipes up. I guess he's the contrarian. He's just like, I didn't like it. So her interest is, of course, now aimed at this guy, and goes on for a little bit. And then the leader or the teacher or just the moderator for the book club, she asked Tracy outright, like, so what did you think of the book? And she's like, oh, you know, I thought the same thing as she thought. So I thought that was funny. And was we get to a point where this woman is asking Tracy, like, you know, hey, you should, I really need you to read whatever chapter. Maybe you should get a book buddy. And then that's when she ends up picking the guy that's the contrarian. But prior to that happening, Tracy actually gives her, you know, a rundown of how life is at the estate. I forgot how they got on the topic, but I think because she said Tracy has a very interesting way with words, which she does. Right.
Which she absolutely does. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah.
Because the way that she described the estate was really, was oddly beautiful. Like... Because Michaela Cole, like before, or she is a poet. She's a poet and a writer. So it was kind of like a cool way for that to shine through. And the way that she talked about the police and around the estate and called them penguins. But the way she slipped it in initially, it almost sounds like for a moment you're like, oh, here's Tracy being dumb again, because she's like, oh, you know, there's, you know, the homeless guy and my friends and the penguins. And you think that it's just Tracy kind of being, you know, dopey Tracy. But when she gets in depth and she's like, oh, no, they're, you know, they wear black and white. They walk around the estate. Don't really say much. Yeah. Penguins. You're like, oh, my God, that is brilliant.
No, No, it really was. And I was like, I might have to pocket that away later.
Yeah.
That makes, you know, a group of people right now who are not in the best light, definitely here in America, it makes them cute and cuddly and a little bit more tolerable instead of trying and wanting to just mm-hmm. punch everything.
Exactly.
And she does a really great job of doing that. So next, yeah, did we cut straight to her going to back to the house with him?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so this episode is like, it's really moving. So
it's that's stacked. Probably
why, yeah, and that's how they were, I guess she was able to pack all this stuff in there. So she gets back to this guy's bedroom, and at first I guess he says something to the effect of, well, we don't have to do anything. And she's like, oh, no, no.
Oh, yeah. he lays the game immediately. First of all, and she's like, oh, yeah, I didn't read the book. Just like a fuck boy. Like, so you popped up and said, just to be a dick. Just to be a dick. And you have not even bothered to read it. Okay. So he's like, oh, yeah, I disagree passionately about the main point, and that pretty much gets the heat off of me. And of course Tracy, rather than be like disgusted by it, she's like, okay, gonna learn that one for the next time. Like, Tracy's already committed to not reading the book. That's what's funny to me. It's like, she's not gonna go and read it, she's just gonna learn techniques on how to better disguise herself, which is hilarious to me.
Can't even be mad at it.
You really can't. So then he proceeds to basically lay game and be like, look, I want you. You clearly want me. Let's do this. And the way she's like, oh, I'm a virgin. And he responds, oh, okay, well, we can just, you know, fool about. And she's like, oh, no, we're definitely going to have sex. I just can't do tricks. Like,
Tracy keeping it 100.
Basically, I love how both of these women handled their virginity. Like, it wasn't
me too.
Like this precious, like, well, there needs to be rose petals and, you know, the thing needs to happen. They just sort of made a decision about their bodies for themselves and just kept it moving. Like, I love that. Now, what happens next is a mess, but I'm so proud of her.
Why does she have a song for losing her virginity? Also, why does that song have a hook, a bridge, a first verse? Also, why is it kind of good?
It was beautiful, but why did it have to happen while he was inside her? Like, why couldn't it have waited? Like, it kills me. As he's like, they're right there, the condom's on. She's like, I've prepared a song. Can I sing it? Oh, what? Excuse me? Like, this should be a big moment, but I can't focus because homegirl's about to sing. And then she proceeds to sing for a long time.
Yeah, it's like for a while.
For a while. And the song is so cute. Entering my dome, what will he find? So much. So much happens in like that little bit of time. And it's so funny. And then there is that like brief moment where she does like cry, because it's still a big moment. But then when she's like, all right, well, maybe I should reciprocate, like make this an okay thing for you, and just starts like flopping about like an eel.
And he's just like, why can't you just, why do you have to do so much? Why can't you just lay still like the other girls? And I'm just like, wow, you all are having a terrible time. I'm sorry. And then there's like someone shout, or a door opens or something. He's like, oh, my older brother is here. So Tracy's like, okay. And then he's like, yeah, you know, he's just one of those guys that's on Snap. And next thing you know, you're on Snap and being shown around to all the kids at the school. Mm-hmm. And she's like, wait, kids at the school? It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, at school. And she's like, but that's your older brother. So then it dawns on her that he is underage, and the look of fear and disappointment on Tracy's face is, it's funny, but it's horrible because it's Tracy. You know, she's just like, I'm gonna go to jail. So,
right.
So we come back to her at the estate, she's getting ready to call the police on herself. And they actually happen to be there. And all you see is a scene of her walking towards them with her hands up.
Like, you know, I appreciate that she took it seriously enough that she felt a need to do something about it. But, girl.
Right.
It's like the look of confusion. Because she, of course, has thought back to Aaron's words and has taken them very literally and applied this to the situation that no one knew about.
It's like, was done in the dark. I'm so late. I'm just like, girl. But it was done in the light. So wait, what are you doing?
Like, it's fine. It's like, it's not fine. Don't do it again. But like, you've learned your lesson. But she's walking slowly. And the look of like abject confusion on these cops' faces when they see this woman walking towards them with their hands up. Just adds to the hilarity, because it's like, you know, we're actually here just minding our business. Like, what is this? What is this that you want? But then it cuts to her in the interrogation room, which has to be like the least menacing interrogation room. Like, the pressure is really off on this one. It's all Tracy. Like, you don't feel like she's being pressed for anything. The cop is just like, okay, so why are you here? And Tracy's there and she's sweating and she's confessing everything into a recorder that's not there. And
like leaning over and everything. Like, I felt like I was watching the episode Locked Up.
The least intense lock up ever, because the cop doesn't even want to be there.
The one in Europe.
Yeah, just like she's like, okay, so you have had sexual relations with a 16-year-old, which is not illegal here, so there's really nothing to see here other than the fact that you've wasted a cop's time, which I guess it's a refreshing scene where a black woman talks to a cop and lives. I mean, like, that's nice.
Yeah. It really is.
The cop genuinely has no interest in her. That's good.
It's like a freaking first, which is unfortunate. But very unfortunate. Thank you, chewing gum. Thank you, chewing gum, because yes. You know, this should be a reality. But hey,
right. Thank you for not using this time to like traumatize us.
Yes, thank you. Please, yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So after, yeah, so after that whole scene, my memory is horrible.
Well, it's, who can really blame you? Because again, this thing jumps around so much because there's so much going on. The next thing is like it's not the party. It's when she goes to Connor's girlfriend's house.
Yes. And Connor's girlfriend, Emma, tries to touch Tracy's hair. Is that right? Yes. She tries to touch Tracy's hair. And then before Tracy could say something, Connor's like, don't do that.
I appreciate that.
I did too. And that's a moment that would be nice if lots of white people did that and was, you know, check other people's privilege.
Right. So, but yes. I love how Emma's like, well, you know, maybe after a couple of dinners, I can earn the privilege. Like, that's not how it works. Don't touch us. That's not how it
works at all, right? So then Tracy finally finds out that Emma is 45 years old, because she's trying to figure out, like, how can you afford something so nice? And yeah, she's like, I'm 45. So at the same time, Emma, as she's saying this, I don't know if it dawns on her that she's with somebody like Connor, who is still so, because he's not 18, he's older than that, but he's still very childish in many ways. Mm-hmm. And she's like trying to take the Xbox controller out of his hand as she's saying this and put it down. Just like, ooh,
to somehow make it less prominent that she is way above this man child. Yeah, that was a nice little reveal, and it was, you can see Tracy kind of went like, wow, really, like this is who you moved on to. But like, other than that, look, she's so nice. She seems like she could be a good, you know, a good fit for Connor to like kind of get him to grow up a little bit. But you just root for Tracy too, because you know that they have this close bond. So,
I mean, at least he's got somewhere to stay. I'll give him that.
He at least has a roof over his head. That's important. But later, I guess when she's telling him about the incident and he's laughing at her, they have that moment where they're picking on each other, and of course it leads to them kissing. So,
oh, I totally forgot about that, because that was just
so
like,
quick.
Ooh. Right, I was like, oh wait, is what do they call themselves? Tronner?
Yeah, I think so.
Tronner. Tronner is still alive and possibly well,
which you don't really realize you want until it happens. You're like, oh, I guess this does work. Like, because before, like, I really wasn't on that train in the first season up until like literally the very last moment where they like walk off into the sunset in their underwear. You're like, oh, this is cute.
Yeah, no, I was definitely there too. Like, I didn't know I wanted that relationship until it was damn near over. And then we come back to season two and it's like, well, wait.
Right.
It's already
over? Like I thought we were all on the same page now, finally. Like, yeah. And then between that and the Ja Rule song, I was like, okay.
You know, I went and listened to that song.
Did you?
Yes, I surely did. And I was like, you know what? Yes, you shall get your one rose.
The one.
Just the one. And it'll probably have a couple of thorns on it, but you'll get that one.
Right, because deservedly so. But you do get, like, if we are going to continue to give people roses while they're alive to smell them, this is your one.
Right.
And I will give that to you wholeheartedly. Because,
and you kind of got to share it with Ashanti as well.
You
so.
Do.
Here y'all go.
Was that Ashanti or was it Mo?
No, it was definitely, it wasn't Ashanti. Wait, it was, yeah, it was definitely, you know what? All three of y'all got to share it. Ashanti wasn't a part of it, but I just feel like all three of them had to share that role.
Because either way, he would not be anywhere without those two women.
No, and I remember, and this is a small tangent, but I remember when Ashanti was like really hot in these streets, and I was a fan, and I remember hearing so many things about her being a classically trained dancer, all of this stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see her on 106 and Park. So she finally is on 106 and Park. And I forgot what song she was performing. It was from that first CD. Happy, I think it's a song. Either way it goes, she was performing this song, and I was just really waiting for her to like bust out some moves.
Just lay it down.
She did not. She kept doing this one freaking two-step with a shoulder shimmy and the whole, I remember being so angry. I don't know why I took that to heart, but I was legit mad because I was just like, classically trained in what?
But where? Bitch, where? In what studio? Like, she, and it never improved. It never improved.
I'm still.
Even years later, when she was supposed to revamp her career, I'm like, you've had all this time. You've had all this time to pick up on something, and you have yet to do it. But, oh my
Shannon, God. I'm still upset. I was so angry. And I went to school the next day. I remember this because I think I had went home. I was like, Ashanti's performing on 106 in Park tonight. I'm like, it's going to be so good.
See, you went and you bigged it up.
She let me down.
She let you down tremendously. See, now I gotta find that tweet. There's a tweet from the Nigga Navy hashtag.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I have to find it. I'm on a mission now. It definitely involves like they called her like the command. She's basically like operatives commander Ashanti, like teaching the troops how to slink by the enemy, and it's her in her latest BET performance slithering around on the floor. Admiral Ashanti showing.
I can't breathe.
And I found it, and I'm going to tag you in it.
And then I'm about to go find that you. I'm not going to do it right now. Wait till we get recording, because I'm pretty sure folks are listening like, why the hell are y'all talking about Ashanti? But I'm going to go find that YouTube clip of that 106 and Park performance, and I'm probably going to do a small thread on how disappointed I was. But
I will wait patiently, and then I will give you your rose for that thread, because okay. People need to hear it.
Wait, I'm looking at. Okay, I can't. I'm not gonna be. Let me stop looking at what you just tagged me to, because I'm not gonna be able to finish. So,
I forgot what we were talking about. Oh yeah. So yes, for a few reasons, we want Tracy and Connor to work. Thanks in part to Ja Rule, Lil Mo and Vida, because I had to look that up because I was like.
They can all share that rose.
All still. Three of you can share that one rose. But yeah, they it's clear that chemistry is still there, and you just kind of want them to like grow together.
Yeah, no, you definitely do. Again, season 3. I know how y'all do with the British television shows. I get right. It. And sometimes I'm very grateful for it. This is not one of those cases. Season 3, please.
Right. Please go ahead and just lean into any semblance of American sensibility that you may or may not have, and just give us as many seasons, as many doable seasons as you possibly can.
Please.
I mean, of course, dip out once you feel like you've told the story, but I just hope it's, because again, British TV loves to tell stories in like 2 seasons, and then if you get a third season, it's like 2, maybe 3 episodes. I'm looking directly at you, my Mad Fat Diary. Like, so, like, because they're not like us where there's like, oh, let's give them 80,000 seasons, whether it's necessary or not. They're not about to pull like a Grey's Anatomy and give you 13 seasons of a show. It's going to be as much as they need to tell. But like, chewing gum is so needed, I feel, that like, just as long as as Michaela Cole can comfortably go, I'm with it. I'm for it. But
no, I am too.
Yeah, but third season, we do need to wrap this up with her and Connor, because we can't leave it how it was left in this season, because it was just left wide open. Like, they kissed and there was no resolve to that. So,
yeah. Right. And then I felt like Emma kind of knew too. So I need to see that unfold. And then mm-hmm. also what I need to see too, because I think the very next scene is we see Aaron and Candace getting ready for bed.
Yeah. Somewhere in there, we see Karen. I'm about to call him Karen. Oh, that should be their name.
It should.
Candace and Aaron are getting ready for bed. Again, everything seems okay until Aaron's like, so is there anything on your mind? Is there something you want to tell me? And Candace basically is like, nope, I'm fine. Like, they've moved on. It's clear that he has not moved on. And Candace is just sort of holding on to that, like, oh, we're cool. But yeah, let's be cool and not bring it up. So, yeah. So they go to bed. He's clearly unsettled by it. And the next morning, they wake up. And he has that look in his eyes that, like, I before the storm kind of look, where it's like, oh, something stormy is going on behind that very calm good morning. And Candace wakes up and all of her makeup is fucked up. He has emptied all of her makeup and ruined it, which is a great way to get to her, because she values, she said it more than once, that she's valued like her light skin, long hair, and her makeup. So yeah, go for the looks if that's where you want to.
Like, he set his timer and he fucked her shit up. And oh, just like,
my goodness.
And so, of course, she continues to egg him on. And instead of just leaving it at him messing up her makeup, she goes and she gets some scissors. And she's like, okay, well then, cut my hair then. So,
which, why even tempt that fate? Like, not that he should have taken that opportunity to do that just because she said so, But why was that even a road we had to go down?
Like, exactly.
She loves to tempt him because, again, it's like, I think it's a really good way to talk about how much, like, society values, like, kind of toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. And it's not just guys. Like, it's purported as this very sexy thing until your hair's cut off and on the floor. Like, she wanted this, like, forceful, strong, you know, aggressive guy, and that's just not the guy he is. And after meeting his father, you can tell why, because he doesn't want to be anything like him.
Yeah, but she wanted it and she got it because
she did.
Because at first I thought he hadn't cut her hair, and then she like rolls away, and then like her hair is gone. I was like, ooh, bitch, damn,
all right. Just kind of like the just Angelica Pickles side pony.
Yes. Oh man, so that happens, and do we get back to Tracy before, or someone else prior to Tracy actually coming in and seeing Candace that way?
No one sees her that way. We kind of get to the estate and the baby showers in full swing because right. Carly has had the baby, which, like, I'm actually a fan of this Carly character, because you see her come up and she's it's almost like they freshly had this child. Like, I don't know how much time's passed, but it couldn't have been much time. But she has demanded that everyone show up in all white. So she must have just left the hospital because she is in the wheelchair, like being pushed in the wheelchair with the baby in her hand. She's got like her hangover shades over her eyes. And after all of this investigating with Big Leash, Detective Big Leash, they revealed the baby. And unlike all of the potential suspects, this child is pure white.
With the red
hair. With the red hair for punctuation of this child is not in any way, shape, or form mixed. And they only had the three black baby daddies as the possible. So she shows up with this child who they've already dubbed Carmel. Was it Carmel or Carmel?
I almost want them to keep the baby's name that way just for the absurdity of it. I just really do. Season 3, I want to see baby Carmel. With milky white skin and red hair. Like, I just want to.
They have to. They have to keep it. Because it was so... They were so stuck on this. Which, again, was like another nod to, like, the fetishism. Because they were all certain that this child was going to be a mixed race. And just the apparent disappointment that it was an all-white child.
Right, just regular white baby.
Just a regular white baby. I'm sure linked to her realizing who the baby's father was. But it's just so funny that they've been so geared towards this half-black, half-white child. And for that to just not come to pass. And then you think about it, like, she's having this all-white party for what she thought was going to be this mixed race child. And it just all comes together in this hilarious, like, y'all ain't shit picture. Because she thought she was going to have this cool mixed race baby. She's like, I'm going to have a cool party befitting of this cool mixed race baby. And
nope. Just, it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen for her. Too bad, so sad.
So then Tracy goes and finds Candace. I guess Candace is missing from the party. So Tracy goes to find Candace and she stumbles upon her, you know, crying and upset because her hair is cut. She doesn't have her makeup. So This is one of those moments. It was a real, got to be real moment, which it was. However, it couldn't have been me. Tracy's just like, you know, you're beautiful still. And, you know, it's just hair. It's just hair. And to prove her point that it's just hair, she cuts her own hair. And that's when I was just like, no. Sorry.
I mean, it could never, I could never do it, but it was such a beautiful moment because it wasn't like this performative thing. Like Tracy said it in such a matter of fact way. She's like, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever known, so what's the deal? And when she goes on to say, like, how much she's tied to her long hair and her makeup, and Tracy's like, it's just hair, it's fine. And when she, like, cuts off her braids and, like, grabs Candace's hair, she's like, see, it's just hair, we'll be okay, I've got you, you've got me. And that's really all we need. Like, it wasn't like this overwrought, like, over emotional moment that I think other shows might have taken the opportunity to really milk that moment and make it overly dramatic. But I just thought it was so beautiful in its simplicity that, like, this friendship to Tracy is solid. It's solid enough to do that. And it's solid enough for her to figure, okay, we're going to be okay. So she's like, okay, get your clothes on so we can go to this wack ass party. Like, it's so... It was really beautiful. Like, I was like, how many of us have, like, solid friends like that? Honestly. I mean, I still, again, could never. Would never.
Couldn't be me. I
wouldn't.
I just know. But the ideal of it and just their friendship in itself, that was a great moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a nice summation to the show, because then they go out and I guess... No, before Tracy gives her speech, everything is coming together, and her dad actually comes back with furniture.
Oh my God.
And her mom was like, how did you, this looks exactly like my furniture. How did you manage that? So come to find out, the guy that Cynthia slept with is actually her stepbrother, because the dad is like, yeah, so-and-so. And then the mom is like, oh, yeah, the girl's stepbrother. And then Cynthia is just looking, Tracy mouth is agape. Cynthia is just looking just like her whole world has been rocked. And then the guy is just standing there, and I was just like, again, we must have a season 3, because I got to know, like, what happens.
Right. Because I totally missed the part where that was her stepbrother. Like, I totally missed that. So, yeah, we definitely need that additional season so we can wrap that up as well. Because that was a kind of unexpected twist in everything that has gone on. But again, I love that their reaction to him was like, oh, you know, thank you, Daddy, really came through. So again, to confirm that he's not like this absent, like, never comes through person. There's obviously, like, some semblance of a relationship there was really good. But, like, seeing this Ryan character come again, like, I thought we were done with him. So for him.
Of course not.
So for him to pop up with the furniture that he stole, it's hilarious to me. It's so funny.
And then I'm trying to imagine, though, like, so the father must have realized that I just wonder that their dad realized that he stole this furniture, it looked familiar, and that it was the furniture, their furniture. Or was this totally just a thing of, I have this furniture, and he's like, oh, well, coincidentally, you know, my ex-wife and my kids need furniture. So I'm...
Yeah, there's something missing there.
Yeah, so, like, okay, so season 3, we need that. And yes. Then after that big reveal, Tracy ends up giving a very, very beautiful speech. Mm-hmm. So fitting, about how, you know, everyone at the estate is so different, but at the same time, you know, they really work together and complement each other, and they're there for one another, which they are. And throughout both season 1 and season 2, like, we've seen how much of a community they actually are.
Right. Like, the, and again, just, I think Tracy's delivery here is so crucial, as well, because it wasn't like this melodramatic thing. It was just like them talking about, you know, we do not have much, and, you know, people make a lot of assumptions about who we are and what our estate's about, but at the end of the day, we're here for each other. Mm-hmm. And even like the kind of crazy, like, homeless looking guy that pops up random every once in a while was there. And so they were talking about how the child needs to be baptized. And there is no church, but when the way Tracy's like, you know, mom, you can still baptize the child, like, you don't need a church.
Mm-hmm.
And her kind of like jump starting her spirit there, because ever since her church status has been taken away, she's kind of been lost. So it was nice to see Tracy kind of pull her together also in that regard. And you kind of look at it and you're like, you know, Tracy's kind of like the backbone of this community in a weird way. Like, everyone falls apart and she is there to be like, it's really not as bad as y'all are making it out to be. We've got each other and we're just going to do what we need to do. Like, again, when we talk about like those lucid moments, like this is one of them where you kind of are reminded that, you know, Tracy is a functioning grown woman despite the mistakes that she makes. And like that final shot where like they're in all white and they're gathered around this child, and like Candace is like got her head on Tracy's shoulder, and Tracy, you can tell like Tracy's like got her, and like this really like cute sisterly, like, you know, just, it was like a cute brown girl moment. And you don't get those.
No, you don't.
So it was really, I thought it was a perfect ending shot to a perfect season. Prior to that, you see Aaron kind of walking off into the sunset too. So I hope that that gets resolved, because I really liked Aaron. Because it was a nice, Aaron was like a very nice balance of like, you know, you don't need toxic masculinity to be a man. So I hope that like him walking away isn't like a forever thing, and that he's pulled back into the fold somehow, even if it's not necessarily him with Candace. So yeah, it was just such a nice end to a beautiful season, and I want more.
I do too, like so bad. Michaela Cole, if you happen to come across this, or somebody who knows her happens to come across this review,
please
tell her more, please
more. Like, this series is so needed. Like, you know, we just don't get, and I wrote about this for Ravishly, we just like do not get, you know, silly funny coming of age stories for black girls. You just don't get that. It's always marked with tragedy and doom. So it's nice that, you know, we have something like chewing gum that allows girls to make silly mistakes, allows them to be, you know, gross and raunchy, and just basically allows them the freedom that white boys get all the time.
No, right, exactly. And just living, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, season 3, like a million times.
Yes, even if that has to be like the final season, because again,
that's fine.
That's what the Brits love to do.
And then we'll do that. We'll watch it and we're just like, season 4. Because you already know.
Because nothing's ever enough for us. No. Because again, American to our core, we won't be happy unless we get 11 seasons.
Right. And then it turns into trash and it's just like, why did y'all keep going?
So right.
We don't know what we're talking about.
We don't admit that it's our fault. No. But it's our fault that we're this way. But just enough seasons to just tell what you need to tell. But I mean, this series is so therapeutic and good in a really, really funny way. So well done. Well,
yes. Done. We're giving you a standing ovation right now.
We are.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much for joining me for this. Like, I couldn't have not have done this alone. So I really appreciate you joining. It's nice to pull you away from Nerd to Pray when you have a moment. So before I let you go and we really wrap this thing up, is there anything that you guys have going on? Real quick, I want to plug that episode with Louis Tan, because y'all should be listening to that.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes.
We're still planning a lot of really great appearances this year, and we never like to talk about them until they pop up, but like we've had a really awesome interview with a female TV maker, and that should drop this week, but she does a lot of awesome nerdy work, so we had a really good conversation with her. If we're not working on that, some of us are working on Universal FanCon, which would be amazing, in April 2018. in Baltimore. That is going to be really something. So if you're not checking out Nerds of Prey, I hope you do take a moment to, because it's my baby. But also check out my other baby, Universal Fan Con. And you can check for that at UniversalFanCon.com.
Yes, guys, all of that. I'll have the links in the bio for that. And as always, this is Stephanie, and I'm going to catch you. Oh, wait, before I go, Patreon. So if y'all subscribe and go ahead and also subscribe and rate on iTunes. But thank you guys for joining us, and I hope you do check out Chewing Gum Seasons 1 and 2, and you love it like we do. Peace out.